Well, I'm very grateful to be here, and it's been an interesting time in the circumstance of an individual life. Doug and I have come from California. I just arrived last night, and from our home temple, Jikoji, and we're on our way to Jokoji, up in the mountains north of. Sorry, I reversed that. Jikoji, we came from Jikoji, too many G's, yeah? And we're on our way to Hokoji, to do a session up in the mountains. So, do some of you know Hokoji? Mm-hmm. Yeah? We're going to do a Parinirvana session up there with Ian and the Sangha up there. So. We're getting ready mentally and physically to kind of dive into a practice time. And we've also have, at the moment, we kind of have the momentum of our travels with us. And this is very wonderful to be here with this Sangha. I feel it's great. It's really wonderful to find these little islands of practice here and there, and Jikoji is a very small little island too in the Santa Cruz Mountains of practice, and feels good. Thank you for all of you for making this place together, particularly of course Russ and Joe. At Hokoji, we're going to look at what's called a jewel mirror samadhi. Do some of you know that? Any of you know that? Heart Sutra is the most common thing that's chanted in the Soto tradition, but sometimes the jewel mirror samadhi is chanted as well. And the jewel mirror samadhi is a beautiful and maybe complex metaphorically at least, poem that was written as an expression, as an awakened expression by the founder of the Soto tradition in China. He's called Tozan Ryokai, Dongshan Langji. And he wrote the Jewel Near Samadhi. And this coming week, we're going to look at that together and study it. And basically, we'll be talking about practice and how to apply practice and how to live a practice life. All these wisdom sutras kind of percolate down into the activity of practice. Not just sitting practice, but life's practice, life's activity. So I thought tonight we could look at the first line of the Jewel Mirror Samadhi. And I think it's particularly appropriate for this Sangha and even for this room, actually. First The first line goes, the teaching of thusness has been intimately communicated by the Buddhas and the ancestors. Now you have it, so keep it well. That's it. The teaching of reality, the teaching of as it is-ness, of things as they actually are, the understanding of that as it's been experienced and recommended by those who have come before us in this practice, in this activity, has been conveyed by intimacy, itself. And you have this intimacy. You already have this intimacy. This is what the first line says. So please take care of what you already have. When I first saw this room and sitting in it today, I was thinking, this is a very intimate space. And you know, Russ, I don't want it any bigger. It's perfect, it's just the way it is. At Chikoji too, we have a relatively small sangha, and at Hokoji, maybe even smaller than this. It's up in the mountains and very remote, very beautiful sangha, very beautiful zendo, but hard to get to, actually. And so maybe just two or three people come and sit, you know. So what do you think? What do you think our ancestor Tozan meant by intimacy? The teaching itself has come to us intimately, not as information per se, not as a big deal, a big broadcast, but as an intimate affair. Intimacy sometimes in our understanding means closeness, right? Does it mean closeness? Yeah, to be close. Sometimes it means, I think, there's a connotation of the word to be a little bit private or contained. The character, the Japanese, Sino-Japanese character, I'm not sure about this now. Hon, I think, as it's pronounced. For intimacy, the character, the pictograph, you know, they're kind of pictographs, and the character for the pictograph is a heart with a roof over it, and how the character is written. With a roof over it, and the roof indicates a house, home, So it's a heart at home. And underneath the character is a part of that it's called a radical. Part of the radical is a pictograph for a hill or a mountain. So it's a heart at home on a hill. Isn't that interesting? Mm. That's the character for intimacy. I think there's also a sense with intimacy of being being held well, or being taken care of. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, we use it when we use it for the people we love. This is my intimate partner, or my. You have intimate feelings for your parents or your children or something, or your dear friends. So it's something that's taken care of very well, and not treated casually, and not ignored. And not abused. It's when you're intimate with something or someone, there's care going on. So our ancestors said, it's called suchness, thusness, tatata. Yatha bhutam is the Sanskrit. Meaning, the Sanskrit word, it means as it is-ness, reality as it is-ness. The teaching itself is reality, and it comes to us intimately. But this the way that it's written, the way that this first line is written, it also means that the teaching itself is intimacy. Intimacy like a noun, not like an adjective or an adverb, but it's closeness itself. Isn't that strange? We think of teaching as information, don't we? Not as proximity. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting, I think that the teaching of reality is not necessarily right understanding or correct understanding or a bunch of information that comes to us, but actually our proximity to reality itself, to as it is-ness itself, our closeness. This is a little different understanding, maybe, than our usual understanding. My feeling is that this practice itself that we do, this unusual practice that we do, is sort of saturated with this intimacy, that it is this expression of this intimacy, that it's kind of an intimacy setup, you could say. We've probably been, I think most of us have been meditating for some time, and we take this as an everyday affair, but it's actually a quite radical thing that we're doing, to come together and to be quiet together this way, and to stop. We come together to stop. We face a wall. Don't we? Most of the time we face a wall. obviously, when you face a wall, you have to stop. You better stop or else, you know, you'll hurt your nose or something. Be careful. And of course, to me, that stopping, that stopping that you do as an agreement, as a aspiration to yourself and also to the world, and you can say to each other that you sit with, is an expression of intimacy, of closeness. Because stopping like this is actually the ultimate act of vulnerability. It actually involves an enormous amount of trust. Think about it. We're out in the world, sort of being a person, right? Being a self, and we're really good at it. We're like experts at being a person, being me or you. And we have a long history and we have a lot of information going on that helps maintain that. And that's our, you know, that's the engine of our being that progresses through each day. And yet we are choosing, very interesting, we are choosing to stop that and be a little bit vulnerable. Sit down and maybe just be body as body and mind as mind. Something like that. Whatever happens for you, or be crazy mind as crazy mind, whatever comes. We have this aspiration to be a kind of a host, a good host, a receptive host to what we meet when we stop. And when we there's other kind of, in this practice, there's other kind of expressions of intimacy. Not just our stopping at a wall, but even when we walk in the door, we have this this mudra. Everybody knows this mudra. What do we call it? Gassho? Gassho? Anjali is another term for it, traditional term. Gassho simply means palms together, palms come together. This is also an expression of intimacy. As Koban Chino, my teacher, Doug's teacher, explains it, when we put our hands together like this, we do this a lot, I think, and we do it, I have to confess, I do it most of the time without thinking about the import of this mudra. Mudra, by the way, means, it's a Sanskrit word that means identity, the identity of something. This is a form that expresses the identity of something. So this mudra of putting your hands together like this, as Koban Chino Roshi taught it, it means that you bring to the present moment, to where you are, your whole self. So you bring your left side and your right side, of course, together, your two hands together. You bring your past and you bring your future together. You bring all your mistakes and all your virtuous aspirations and potentiality for the future. You bring them together in front of you. And you bring the parent and you bring the child together. You bring the really bad boy and girl, you know that one? And the really good boy and the really good girl. And you bring them together and you meet them, you join them in front of you, where you are in the present moment, and you say hello, or you say I greet you, or you say I respect this room, my practice room, or you say I respect my teacher, or you say I respect my friend, or you say I honor the tradition, the Buddha, ancestors, and so on. We can do this, you know? It's just putting our hands together. But this is an expression of intimacy. And once in a while, I encourage you to remember that. And when you gassho, remember this is an intimate affair, and you're meeting some, you're bringing everything in front of you, and bowing and saying hello. And what else? We have we have this mudra, don't we? That we do. Everyone knows this mudra. What do you call this mudra? Do you call it a universal or cosmic? Pretty common thing for us, huh? This too is an expression of intimacy. It's a universal or cosmic in the sense that it includes everything. It's called, in Japanese, it's called a ho kai jo in. Ho is a dharma, and kai is a sphere or realm. Have you heard the term dharma dhatu? Dharma dhatu, has anyone heard that term? Dharma dhatu means the dharma realm. And dharma in this sense does not mean exclusively the teachings, but it means all phenomena, all events, all phenomena, all experience, all things. That's what's meant by this whole phenomena. So the sphere of everything, that's the first character, the first two characters, ho kai. And the second two characters, jo in. Now, jo is means samadhi. Does people understand samadhi? Samadhi means to be, I don't like the word concentrated so much, but it means to be, let's say, meditatively absorbed, meditatively with something, one-pointed. That's jo, and in is to confirm, or to, like you've seen those stamps where someone stamps the, in Asia they put a stamp on it and they say this is my writing or something like that. That's a confirmation, you know. So Hokai Jōin means that with my presence, with my one-pointedness, with my samadhi, with my settled presence, I confirm that everything is here with me. All beings, all phenomena are here with me. That's this mudra. Have you ever heard this before? And my teacher even goes on, there's a little kind of symbology with this mudra. My teacher, Kōgen Shinroshi, that the right hand represents the Buddha realm, and the left hand represents the human realm. So that the Buddha realm holds the human realm, and also that they make a circle and they touch one another. So this mudra also means that the human realm and Buddha realm are one thing. They touch one another. They're intimate. The symbology gets quite involved. So this thumb represents Buddha, and this finger represents bodhisattvas, and then this finger represents arhats, shravakas, saints, and pratika buddhas, and those in the diva realm, in some heavenly realm, and in this thumb represents the human realm. You know, you probably heard of the six realms of existence, and there's the other heavenly realm called the Asura realm, which is a kind of heavenly realm, but they're not at rest. You know, they're sort of they still have issues. They're competing with one another, and they're jealous, and they're kind of still working it out. And you can tell, that these are all psychological aspects. So basically, this is like all of me, or all of us. You know? What's next? The pretas, the hungry ghost realm, the realm of appetite, the realm of inexhaustible, unattainable wanting. We all know that realm. And the realm of the animal realm, the realm of instincts, just blind, unconscious functioning of animal functioning, and the hell realm, the realm of sort of pure pain, anger, pain. So it basically, you know, it's kind of elaborate, but it's basically saying everything is here. You're sitting with your whole self, and you're bringing it here to your center. What's our other mudra? Shashu mudra. Same thing, that the human realm is kind of held, protected by the Buddha realm. And this mudra is used, this is a Vajra fist also. It's a fist of, it's a kind of mudra of strength. You're bringing energy, or bringing mindful awareness to when you move. So anytime you move mindfully, this is a very good mudra. And Kōgen Shinroshi actually said, even in daily life, when you're anxious or worried or something, you can use that mudra. It's a very nice mudra to kind of help you. these mudras that we have, our way, our particular form, to me is endlessly expressing this intimacy that we already have. Tozan said, we already have this. It's not like something that's out there that we have to acquire, or if we're good, we'll get more of it. We already have this. So please take care of what's already here. Interesting first line. It's a long poem. And that's just the first line, so you can tell we're going to be busy up in the mountains.
And cold.
And cold, yes. I hear the temperature going down a little bit. Yeah. Doug and I. Doug is a geologist, and as well as a civil engineer, and has been working on tunnel projects. And so, on the way here from California, I became his student, and he's been teaching me about the earth. We went through Death Valley, and we went through the, what do you call the eastern side of the Sierras?
Owens Valley.
Owens Valley, yeah. And I was, what else? We saw the meteor crater. And we went to the Petrified Forest. We've been quite the tourists on the way here. And I've been getting quite an education on the earth. And I'm understanding that how intimate the earth itself is, and of course how fragile it is, and how well, it sounds sentimental, but how grateful I am for this many faces, the many expressions of this wonderful mother we have, this our support, this earth. Doug and I had an interesting time. He taught me about alluvial plains and alluvial fans, and that's called depositional surfaces. Depositional surfaces. Is that right? And that's in contrast to erosional surfaces, things that are wearing away. And then we got into a long discussion in the car about depositional practice and erosional practice. I don't think we've come to any conclusion yet.
What's an example of a depositional process?
A practice?
Yeah.
Practice?
Yeah.
Or?
Depositional practice.
Depositional,
yeah, what did you mean
practice?
By that? Yeah.
The sediment is deposited somewhere.
What would it be, depositional
in practice?
Practice?
You understand erosional practice, right? Everybody understands it. We come with all these big ideas and we bring a big self and it wears away. That's understandable, right? Yeah. What did we come up with? Something like receiving the teaching and being sensitive to, being receptive to the world, to to understanding, the actual willingness or openness to receive.
Maybe they should be opposite. Erosional practice would get rid of all of the crap.
Yes. And but where does it come from? What do you think? As the other earth scientist here.
Actually, we have two geology professors in the room here. No, I think the depositional, being receptive, that's a good way of describing one aspect of the practice. The erosional side of practices, letting go,
of releasing
whatever we have.
Yeah.
And the depositional is kind of being open and receiving.
I don't know if it works, but we had a good time talking about it in the car. Also, you know, when we sit, we have this kind of model of, or advocation to be a place, don't we? Where it's kind of like be here with body and mind, arrive actually, and when we establish ourselves, the instruction is to be upright, to do upright sitting. So we align ourselves with gravity, like the earth. I think that's being intimate too, in a way. Or you could say it's being appropriate, being in accord with the way things are. We are aligning ourselves with gravity when we are upright. Like the mountains. Would anyone like to say anything or add something?
Could you read that first line one more time for us?
The teaching of thusness has been intimately communicated by Buddhas and ancestors. Now you have it, so keep it well. I could say it another way, actually. This is Dogen. He actually said the same thing in a different way. When you find the place where you are, then practice occurs. Actualizing the fundamental point. Place of joy.